What's good, everyone? Welcome to the Power Up Podcast. I am your host, Dennis, and this is episode number 17. We got a lot of things to cover today. We've had a state of play from Sony this week. Tokyo Game Show has been happening across this week. And we're going to talk about my time with Donkey Kong Bonanza. So first things first, as always, we give our shout out to the Southwest Florida FGC. Now, unfortunately, due to time constraints, I do not have a graphic for you all again this week, but we're going to go into Southwest Florida FGC weekly number 149 in our Street Fighter bracket, tied up. In seventh place is Waffles and Dizzy, KOF. Tied up in fifth place, we got Gojira Slim and your boy, Sir Snorlax. In fourth place, we have Walt Coyote. In third place, we have Zoe Valentine. In second place, we have Spiker. And in first place is Mr. Worldwide. Mr. Worldwide coming in with Zangief and Aki for this tournament. Very, very interesting. Moving into our Tekken 8 bracket. Tied up in 8th place, Frank Gaines XP and McLover. In 5th place, Spiker. Also in 5th place is me, your boy, Sir Snorlax. In fourth place, TV Tengu with the bear pairing, as always. In third place, Crispy Crisps. In second place, Savage Mella. And in first place, Flameo. And our third bracket for the week, the debut of 2XKO. At the South of Florida FGC Weekly. Coming in, tied up in seventh place, Mr. Worldwide and Savage Mella. Tied up in fifth place, Frank Gaines XP and TV Tengu. In fourth place, our newcomer, Sergio. Shouts out to Sergio, by the way, who was kind enough to offer me invite codes for 2XKO so I could even play the game to begin with. Sergio is one of the homies from the Gundam card game scene that I attend to here locally. And moving into our third place, Spiker. In second place, Dizzy KOF. And in first place, Zoe Valentine. Now let's get into our Southwest Florida FGC leagues for Street Fighter 6 and Tekken 8. Now, the league's going to be coming to a close very, very soon. And with that, let's get into our top 20. In 20th place in our Street Fighter 6 league, Lennon with 10 points. In 19th place, Scourge with 11 points. In 18th place, Rich Dan with 13 points. In 17th place, Waffles with 13 points. In 16th place, we have your boy, Sir Snorlax, with 15 points. In 15th place, we have Rich Demi with 15 points. 14th place, we have Cruisin with 26 points. Points. In 13th place, Zoe Valentine with 27 points. In 12th place, we have Lexitron 3000 with 40 points. In 11th place, we have Makira with 42 points. Now, moving into our top 10 of our leaderboard, Big Boss Brandon with 44 points. And in 9th place, Walt Coyote with 45 points. In eighth place, Blue Icy Dasani with 55 points. In seventh place, we have Casual Sam with 61 points. In sixth place, we have Noodle with 70 points. In fifth place, Harold with 90 points. In fourth place, we have Professor Peanut with 93 points. In third place, Boss with 116 points. In second place, we have Mr. Worldwide with 126 points. And in first place, with 135 points, Spiker. Now moving into our Tekken 8 top 20. In 20th place, Dr. Killed by Death with 2 points. In 19th place, Rich Demi with 2 points. In 18th place, we have Fighting Focus with 3 points. In 17th place, we have RT with 3 points. In 16th place, we have Lost Hero with 4 points. In 5th place, we have Dizzy KOF with 5 points. In 14th place, we have Frank Gaines XP with 5 points. In 13th place, we have Mr. Worldwide with 7 points. In 12th place, we have Foz with 9 points. In 11th place, we have McLover with 16 points. And in our top 10 on the leaderboard, in 10th place is your boy, Sir Snorlax, with 22 points. In 9th place, we have Zoe Valentine with 22 points. In 8th place, we have TV Tengu with 42 points. In 7th place, we have Savage Mella with 49 points. In 6th place, we have Spiker with 61 points. In 5th place, we have Kazibara with 75 points. In 4th place is Samurai Soda with 139 points. 3rd place, Mary Chango with 201 points. In 2nd place, we got Flameo with 234 points. And in 1st place with 242 points, Crispy Crisps. Shouts out to everyone supporting the Southwest Florida FGC. We have a big event coming up October 25th. It's going to be an all-day event. We're going from 12 to 12 with 7 games. We are going to have the return of Tengu's Mystery Bracket. We are going to have 2XKO. We are going to have also Guilty Gear Strive. And we're going to be putting out some throwbacks with Soul Calibur 2 and Ultra Street Fighter 4. And of course, our co-main events will be Street Fighter 6 and Tekken 8. Major points in the league for both of those tournaments. So the winner could easily cap off their league run with major points to win the league for 2025. So stay tuned. Like I said, October 25th. We're also going to have a costume contest. So if y'all like costume contests, come join us. Now, we're going to get into a lot of news. We're also going to talk about the state of play. But in the news, Microsoft is raising Xbox console prices in the U.S. again 5 months after its last price increase. This write-up comes from Chris Scullion at VGC. Microsoft is increasing the price of the Xbox consoles again in the U.S. 5 months after its price increase. The company announced back in May that it was increasing prices of its consoles globally, including the price of the Xbox Series X and S consoles in the U.S. by $180, respectively. Now it's announced that its price is raising the prices even further, but only in the United States this time due to, quote, changes in the macroeconomic environment. According to a newly updated support page, the price increase will take effect October 3rd. Both the 512 gigabyte and 1 terabyte models of the Xbox Series S will see $20 increases on top of the $80 increases they received in May, while the Xbox Series X and Xbox Series X Digital will see their prices raise a further $50. The biggest increase is the price for the Xbox Series X 2 terabyte Galaxy Black Edition, which will get a $70 increase on top of its previous $130 increase. The console, which launched at $599, now costs $799 and is more expensive than a PlayStation 5 Pro, which also comes with 2 terabytes of storage. Microsoft says the prices of controllers and headsets will remain the same, and console prices in other countries outside the U.S. will also remain unchanged. This is the latest in a series of price increases across the video game industry. Sony previously increased the price of PS5 in select regions in August 2022 and April 2025, excluding the U.S. both times, before eventually increasing U.S. console prices last month. Nintendo also delayed Switch 2 pre-orders in the U.S. due to the country's turbulent financial situation. It eventually opened them in late April without changing the console prices, but did raise the price of some Switch 2 accessories in the U.S. and warned that other adjustments to the price of any Nintendo product are also possible in the future depending on market conditions. So earlier this year, the CTA, the trade association behind the CES tech event, warned that Trump's tariffs could lead to console prices increasing by 69% in the U.S. if they all came into effect. This is really bad for Microsoft, because we're talking about Microsoft getting... It's just been a rough year for Microsoft, to be honest. Great game releases, but, you know, we saw the massive layoffs that happened at Microsoft affecting many studios in Xbox, and we also saw, the cancellation of some projects as well. So it's very concerning for Xbox, for Microsoft. I mean, I bought my Series S at $250 when it came out. I barely use it, but it comes in use. The Game Pass, for the most part, is what I utilize on it. I own maybe a handful of games on the system. My primary consoles right now are the PS5 and the Switch 2. I feel this is going to make a big difference coming into the holiday season, because we are going to see people that maybe don't own a PlayStation yet, PS5 or an Xbox, you know, this latest generation, looking to get, you know, into the market for Christmas, you know, families that are going to be buying their kids a brand new console, and the prices are going to be, not only are they going to be tough, but when a decision is made, you know, we may lean towards towards Sony's PlayStation 5 instead of the Xbox because of the expense. So what are y'all thoughts on all these price increases? Because I think it's crazy. We're halfway through this console generation, and instead of prices going down, they're going up. You know, we keep talking about this, but I just fear that it's just going to continue to affect us. Moving into our next story. Konami has been talking about Metal Gear since the release of Delta. Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 2 is still moving forward properly, Konami says. This write-up comes from Chris Gullion of VGC. Konami has assured players that Volume 2 of the Metal Gear Solid Master Collection is still in development. As noted by user Kuwabara 357, the game was mentioned during a Metal Gear production hotline presentation during Tokyo Game Show. During the Japanese-only discussion, Metal Gear Solid series producer Okamura confirmed that work on the Master Collection Volume 2 is continuing and promises to be worth the wait. It has certainly taken quite a while now, Okamura said via fan translation. Since we called the first installment Volume 1, it's only natural to expect a second one. That's what we said years ago. But we've repeated several times we are making it. We've been working on it properly while also producing Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater. When the time is right, we'd like to share with you all news not only on its progression, but also the direction going forward. I'm sorry, it feels like I always have to say this, but please wait just a little longer. How long a little longer actually means, it's hard to say, but the project is moving forward properly, and we believe it's shaping up to be something really enjoyable. So please wait a bit more. More information is coming. The lineup for the Master Collection Volume 2 has yet to be confirmed, but players are hopeful that will include PS3 game Metal Gear Solid 4 Guns of the Patriots and PSP title Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, although Peace Walker was later remastered for PS3 and Xbox 360 as part of the Metal Gear Solid HD collection in 2012, Metal Gear Solid 4 has never been re-released outside of PS3, making a large gap for players who want to play through the series on modern formats. References to Metal Gear Solid 4, Metal Gear Solid 5, and Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker were reportedly found in the files of the Master Collection Volume 2. And I'm just going to say this right now. You know, I'm going to be front and center when that Volume 2 gets announced and it gets released. Metal Gear Solid 4 being stuck on the PS3 this long is a sin. Now, I have seen players emulating this game, and the game still looks amazing. So I think it's just about getting that ported over. And what other games are going to be in the collection? Because, yes, in Volume 1, we got 1, 2, 3. But we also, along with it, got versions of the MSX and NES original Metal Gears. So will we get Metal Gear Solid 4, Peace Walker, the combo of 5 with Ground Zeroes and Phantom Pain? Are we going to get Portable Ops? It's not canon. According to most, it's not canon, but it's still a Metal Gear game. Are we going to see Metal Gear Acid? Are we going to see Rising Revengeance? It'll be an interesting thing to look at. It'll be an interesting announcement. I'm really hoping for a lot of it. Honestly, if we can get Guns of the Patriots, I think that in itself will be worth the collection. Because it'll be the first time it's ported over outside of that collection. So I'll be definitely looking forward to that. Moving on. Doug Bowser is stepping down as Nintendo of America president and COO. He will be replaced by 19-year Nintendo veteran Devin Pritchard. This write-up comes from Chris Scullion at VGC. Nintendo of America has announced that Doug Bowser will be stepping down as president and COO. Bowser will retire from his roles on December 31st, 2025, at which point he will be replaced by Devin Pritchard. Pritchard, who is currently Nintendo of America's executive vice president of revenue, marketing, and consumer experience, joined Nintendo 19 years ago and is described as by the company as a longstanding member of the NOA leadership team. She will also join the NOA board of directors and become the NCL executive officer. Cool. Letters. Along with Pritchard's promotion, Satoru Shibata, the former Nintendo of Europe president and current managing executive officer, corporate director, and member of the board at NCL, Nintendo's Japanese arm. There you go. Now we know what that is. I didn't know. Maybe y'all knew. Will join Nintendo of America as its CEO while still continuing his roles at NCL. Bowser became Nintendo of America's president in April 2019 after Reggie Fils-Aimé stepped down from the role, and the company has joked numerous times about him having the same name as Mario's arch nemesis. One of my earliest video game experiences was playing the arcade version of Donkey Kong, Bowser said in a statement. Since that time, all things Nintendo have continued to be a passion for both me and my family. Leading Nintendo of America has been the honor of a lifetime, and I am proud of what our team has accomplished in both business results and the experiences we've created for consumers. Now it's time for the next generation of leadership, and Devin's track record speaks for itself. She is an exceptional leader, and her promotion is a testament to her strong performance and strategic contributions to the company's growth. I have full confidence that she will guide the company to even higher heights. Pritchard added, I am humbled and excited to take on this new role. Doug has been a fantastic mentor, and I look forward to building on the incredible foundation he has helped establish. With characters and worlds that offer something for everyone, my focus will be continuing to build on Nintendo's legacy of surprising and delighting our longtime fans, while at the same time welcoming new players into the Nintendo family. Paying tribute to Bowser's time at the company, NCL President Shuntaro Furukawa stated, during his tenure, Doug made numerous contributions to bring smiles to the faces of people connected to Nintendo. I would like to express my gratitude for his strong efforts. Devin, who will become the next president, has also made many contributions to Nintendo over the years. I am confident that, like Doug, Devin will continue to support Nintendo's important mission of creating smiles. Short tenure for Doug Bowser, but, you know, we want to, you know, people want to, you know, get on and, you know, enjoy the rest of their life with their family, you know, when people get to that, you know, stage in life when it's time to, you know, say goodbye, you know, it's for the best. So happy retirement to Doug Bowser, and we'll see what Mrs. Pritchard has in store for Nintendo of America. Moving into our next story. Days before release, Borderlands 4 is indefinitely delayed on Switch 2. Gearbox says Borderlands 4 on Switch 2 needs more development time. This write-up comes from Andy Robinson at VGC. Announcing the news on social media, the developer said it had decided the Switch 2 version needs additional development time and that it does not take this decision lightly. It did not provide an explanation for why the decision has been made so close to the Switch 2 version's planned release, but it does say all digital pre-orders are now canceled in accordance with Nintendo eShop policy. We need to share that the release of Borderlands 4 on Nintendo Switch 2 is being delayed, the statement reads. We do not take this decision lightly, but are committed to ensuring we deliver the best possible experience to our fans, and the game needs additional development and polish time to do that. Our hope is also to better align this release with the addition of cross saves, which we are working on and recognize is very important. We will update you on the new release timing once we've fully adjusted our plans. Borderlands 4 released for PS5, Xbox Series consoles, and PC earlier this month and has reportedly already amassed more than 2.5 million players. VGC wrote in their review, Borderlands 4 is a great RPG shooter with rewarding, engrossing gameplay, set of the set dressing, like the bland new characters and pointless grappling hook, take the shine off, but the sheer amount of fun we've had with the game can't be overlooked. Borderlands 4 reminds us exactly why we were such big fans of the original two games and falls on its sword in learning the mistakes of 3. I've never been a big Borderlands fan, so it doesn't disappoint me, but to be this close to the release of the Switch version was kind of, oof. But, I want to take us back to the Switch 1 when WWE decided to release a WWE 2K game, and it was virtually unplayable. I would much rather just wait and see if we can make it happen and then just outright cancel it if need to than to make people spend money on something that is complete and utter garbage. and that can't run. So funny enough, I do believe that now on the Switch 2, that game runs fine. But, you know, it's not a fun thing to do, in canceling games or delaying games. But it's best to do that than to, you know, do what WWE 2K did. Moving into our next story, Pal World. Pal Farm is a new farming spinoff coming from Pocket Pair. Players will team up with pals to grow their farm. Chris Scullion writes from VGC. Currently only confirmed for PC via Steam, Pal World Pal Farm lets the players gather the series' titular pals and put them to work on a farm. The game has yet to receive a release date, but its Steam page is now active, allowing players to wishlist it. Players will start with barren land and make use of the pals' special abilities to carry out tasks, with the aim being to turn the land into a thriving environment. Much like the main Pal World game, Pal Farm will still feature combat, with players' pals taking on more aggressive pals that try to raid their farm or lurk underground. There's also a marketplace run by residents, as well as a shadier black market hidden on the island's far side, where players can buy more questionable items such as guns, suspicious fertilizer. Okay. Suspicious fertilizer. Gotcha. The game also supports multiplayer, meaning players can work together to build a farm together. Move to an island where the pals live. Work together till the fields, cook, craft, and build the farms of your dreams. The game's description reads, each pal will lend a hand in farm work by making use of their unique abilities, from sowing seeds and watering to harvest. Pals make for reliable partners, deepening your relationships with the island residents and pals through daily conversation and gift giving, and you may discover unexpected stories, special stories unfolding. At times, you'll also need to defend your farm from from nasty pals that come to wreak havoc. Head to the market, buy and sell crops or crafted goods, and sometimes even obtain rare items. Of course, multiplayer is also supported, so you can build your farm together with friends. A cozy life is waiting for you with your pals. So this is, I think this is hysterical, okay? We're in the middle of a lawsuit with Pokemon, and we decide to make a Animal Crossing-like game with our pals, and then announce it maybe like a few weeks after Nintendo announced their Pokemon Animal Crossing game. You can't make this up. You can't make this up. I find it hysterical. I'm sorry. I find it quite hysterical because I know this is not going to help the case that they've got going again, you know, with Nintendo coming after them. Yeah. But I will say, I know a lot of complaints about Animal Crossing's multiplayer was the fact that you couldn't build together on the farm. So this is a nice addition to it. Yeah, we'll see if Nintendo takes lessons from that while they sue them. Yeah. So, we are going to talk about a little bit about State of Play that happened for Sony, along with a few more announcements that happened during Tokyo Game Show. The State of Play happened earlier this week. The 24th of September, sorry, I was trying to remember, with a huge lineup. We got to see some gameplay from Sorrows, Housemarque Sorrows, and it looks pretty interesting. And I would go as far as to say I never played Returnal, which was Housemarque's other game, and I will go as far as to say that I might try this game. So it's 5 minutes. We're going to take a look. Oh, Lord. I don't know why my desktop audio didn't start working there, but, you know, we're here now.
Scan for Sultari signals.
Signal corrupted. Approximating.
Is that the thing from the ridge?
Confirmed.
That's a huge motherfucker.
How's it going? I'm Gregory Loudon, creative director at Housemarque. Today we are thrilled to show off this first look of gameplay for Saros running on PS5. Saros builds on Returnal's award-winning action and tells the emotional and haunting story of Arjun Devraj's drive for answers on the shape-shifting planet of Carcosa.
Yo, that shift, that dodge shift, that's sick.
One of our exciting combat features, the Sultari shield. By holding R1, you can defend yourself and absorb projectiles.
Oops, nice. This is like blue, for the audio listeners, is this blue like force field that surrounds the character. The environments, I mean, very, very awesome looking. It gives me very Doom-like vibes in that sense. The environment, not the gameplay. Lost Carcosa.
I'm trying to forget.
Hold on for me. I will fight you. I promise.
That was a nice shot. Took all of them out at once. A lot of machines just coming after you with like big shots too. Like the surface area that it covers is crazy. Again, I never played Returnal, so this is like new to me, I guess, in a way. Ooh, my man's going down. My man's going down.
This is Second Chance, where you can be revived on first death to get straight back into the action. Second Chance is part of our permanent progression systems, which means you will always come back stronger.
Always come back stronger when you're like close to death. That's some Saiyan shit right there. Mars. It looks kind of like Mars in a way, the planet. Which again, that's why it gives me vibes from Doom. It's very orange-ish, reddish. Yo, this thing has got like what, like six arms? They're all hands glowing. Oh no, it's got another two, so that's eight. Damn.
The sun is forever.
Ooh, that's a huge bitch. It looks fun. Sorrows. Come back stronger. March 20th, 2026. You can wishlist it now, too. So, I'm interested. I'm interested in that game. I'll say this. A lot of these games that were revealed on the State of Play were games that are coming out relatively soon or early in 2026. We got a look at the Battlefield 6 campaign. Neo 3 got a release date of February 6th, 2026. We got a look at a new spy fantasy from Disco Elysium, ZAUM, that's the name of the studio. Zero Parades for Dead Spies. That's going to be coming out in 2026. They say very much like Disco Elysium. I've never played Disco Elysium, but it looked very interesting. We got some gameplay looks at the Evil East Chronicles that's coming out next week. Crimson Desert got a new release date of March 19, 2026. It was delayed earlier this year. It was supposed to come out this year, but now it's been delayed to March. We also got another look at Code Vein 2, which will be releasing January 30th, 2026. The PlayStation Plus game catalog for 2025 has been announced with the headlining of Alan Wake 2, along with Cocoon and Goat Simulator. Those would be the three PlayStation Plus games that you get for free. And also, it's going to be added, The Last of Us Part 2 and its remastered version are also going to the higher tier PlayStation Plus categories. Along with Soul Calibur 3 and Tekken 3 for the classics. Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024 is going to be making its way to PlayStation. And it is going to be coming December 8th of this year. And they are also working on PlayStation VR 2 support for it. Gran Turismo celebrates 100 units sold, and Gran Turismo 7 is getting a new update, including two new F1 race circuits, eight new vehicles, new circuit experiences, data logger feature, all coming in an update this December. We also got an announcement for DLC content for Sonic Racing Cross Worlds, which brings Mega Man, Proto Man, and a track of the reimagined Dr. Wily's Castle from Mega Man 2. And coming early next year, February 5th of 2026, we're getting a Deus Ex remastered. The original Deus Ex games is getting remastered by Asper Games. We also got a look at the Halloween video game that's coming out, which will be coming out in September of next year. So almost an entire year. It's coming from Ilphonic, who gave us Killer Clowns from Outer Space and a few other games, but gave us the infamous Friday the 13th game that died almost on release due to lawsuits from the creators and license holders. So it's going to be similar to Friday the 13th. You can either play as Michael Myers with various powers, or you're going to be able to play as survivors that do different things and saving other civilians, calling the police, things like that. We're also getting a survival action roguelite in the form of Let It Die Inferno. And that'll be coming to us at the end of this year. Dynasty Warriors 3 Complete Edition Remastered is coming on March 19, 2026. A remaster of the 2001 PS2 Dynasty Warriors is coming out, and it's going to have improved graphics, content from the Extreme Legends expansion, you know, better gameplay mechanics and UI. We also got an announcement about a Last Epoch expansion, Ori Boss, that will launch alongside the base game for the PS5 for the first time. We got to look at the Seven Deadly Sins Origin, which tells us original story in the world of that anime, launching on January 28, 2026. We also got to look at a new limited edition DualSense wireless controller celebrating the 20th anniversary of God of War. It is a white controller with the one side red mark of Kratos. It will be $84.99, and pre-orders will begin on October 3rd, 10 a.m. local time. We also got to look at some new tech in the form of PlayStation's wireless speakers, Pulse Elevate. And they don't have a price, but they, you can pair them with a PS5, a PC, your PlayStation Portable, your smartphone. They come in either black, midnight black or white. They have a built-in microphone with AI-enhanced noise rejection, so you can even use these in its voice chat. 2026, that's the date we got. We also got a look at a new game called Chronoscript: The Endless End. So let us take a look at that trailer, because I found this game to look pretty awesome. I'm going to get a bad rep with these games. You'll understand in a minute. Desk works. Got some ink coming down on some books. The pages of a book turn into the scene. That ink spot on the ground turns into a prison. Bound to an unfinished draft of prison. I didn't get to finish reading that. So yeah, it's a, I guess a Metroidvania, you would call this. Side scroller. That's what I'm talking about. I'm getting a bad rep with these old classic looking games. It's like you're going across different books, and you go into the ink, and you kind of use that as a tunnel. Oh, when he, damn. So the pages and books move, and the map changes. That's crazy. Chronoscript: The Endless End. 2026, wishlist now. That looked pretty cool, not gonna lie. Now, we closed out the State of Play, and then I'm gonna give you my thoughts on the State of Play after this. But we closed out the State of Play with a huge game that I'm very much looking forward to, and I will definitely be playing. A game that was announced almost, 4 years ago? So, let's take a look. That's right. We got Wolverine, baby. There's so much blood. Insomniac Games. Marvel Games. Look at us. We're going. It looks like we're in Japan. He's got the cowboy hat and the button up. We got the yellow suit as well. Jesus. Nice slide. Omega Red.
is always waiting. Just not for me.
Mystique. Got a Sentinel, baby. Fall 2026. That's coming very soon, and I'm very excited for that. I'm going to tell you, I really hope this isn't... It doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it's going to be open world, which I'm glad, because the open world aspect for this type of game, I don't feel would fit. This needs to be just like this raw, linear story. Unlike the Spider-Man games. Like, Spider-Man lends itself to be open world because of all the things you can do, the exploration, the crimes, all that. But this game definitely needs to be a linear experience, and you're just fighting. Brutal dismemberment, if you will. The state of play in itself. The Sorrows, opening with Sorrows, great. Everything in between just felt very lackluster. I think the only game that really stood out to me was the Chrono Script game that we just saw a little bit ago. So this game saved State of Play, which you open up with Sorrows. They told us, hey, we're opening up with 5 minutes of gameplay for Sorrows. So we knew that was coming. We knew that we were getting some third party games. They said that, and some PlayStation Studios stuff. If Wolverine hadn't been there, you can just toss this whole State of Play aside, because it would have just been a terrible experience. And a lot of people were knocking it. The people that were knocking the Nintendo Direct that happened a couple weeks ago, take a look at that. Because that Nintendo Direct was so much better than this. By far. By far. Like, there were some huge announcements that came out of Nintendo. It's definitely 100 times better than what we got this time around with Sony. But it seemed to focus on a lot of things that are going to be coming either the end of this year or next year. Either beginning of the year before GTA and after GTA. No, nothing close to GTA. And I think that's going to be the same thing we're going to see that we were seeing this year. When they announced it was coming out this year, next year, you're going to see a lot of people avoiding that date. Now, a few more things that came out of Tokyo Game Show. We got a look at some gameplay for Sea Viper and a release date. So let's take a look at that. Cross up crazy. Woo. Yo, those. Wow. I see a lot of people playing her. I foresee a lot of people playing her. Nice shimmy. We got that original Street Fighter 4 outfit going. People talk about the hair and that she stole it. BS. That was her hair before. She did not steal that from K-pop Demon Hunters. Oof. Nice. Wonder if that impact that she does on the floor has distance. Like different distances at different different buttons. She looks dope. Coming October 14th of this year, we're also getting a new outfit for Zangief, the Mecha Zangief outfit. So that's pretty awesome. I foresee that character being a problem. I'm not gonna say. I'm just gonna say that right now. Because, damn. All right. Moving into the next story. Forza Horizon 6 has officially been announced and will be set in Japan. The sixth entry in Playground Games' open world racing series will be out next year. This write-up comes from Chris Cullion at VGC. Microsoft has announced the game during the Xbox Tokyo Game Show live stream, stating that it's set to launch first on Xbox consoles and PC next year, implying a PS5 release will come later. Rather fittingly, given the location of the presentation, Forza Horizon 6 will be set in Japan. Previous games were set in Colorado, the French and Italian Rivieras, Australia, Britain, and Mexico. The game will feature both rural and urban parts of Japan, according to art director Don Arcetta, speaking to the official Xbox Wire blog. While we're not announcing too much in terms of detail right now, we're excited to show fans the true breadth of beauty, both natural and urban environments, that Japan has to offer, he said. From neon lights and towering buildings of Tokyo City, one of our most detailed and layered environments to date, to the serenity and natural beauty of Japan's rural and mountain areas, we think players will be blown away by the open world of Japan that we have built. And while we are not necessarily trying to recreate Japan, its environments And while we're not necessarily trying to recreate Japan and its environments like for like, our goal has always been to capture the country's unique cultural essence and present it back in the most Horizon way possible. Playground Games also brought in cultural consultant Kyoko Yamashita early in the development to ensure the game doesn't simply look photorealistic, but also portrays Japanese culture. Japan is widely loved and it can also be widely misread when you only see it from afar, Yamashita explained. The team wanted to present more than a postcard or a backdrop. They wanted a lived-in world. Having a cultural consultant early helps you make 1,000 small, respectful decisions. How neighborhoods sound, even what a sign color communicates about a shop. Those small choices add up to credibility and help avoid stereotypes while also making it a truly immersive experience for players. The game will have changing seasons, as in recent Forza Horizon titles. For Japan, seasonal changes have a dramatic impact on landscape and playable world, but also hold a deeper cultural meaning for the country and its culture, Arcetta explained. Yamashita added, the team has also been able to build a system where seasonal changes truly inform the world, how spring, summer, autumn, and winter subtly shift tone, activity, and sound. The team is also really proud of the attention to everyday details, ambient audio like station chimes or summer wind bells that instantly place you without a caption. Those are quiet choices, but they carry a lot of truth. It has been rumored that a future Forza Horizon game would be set in Japan, and the cat was seemingly let out of the bag last month thanks to a now-deleted Instagram post by an Australian car importer. Cult and Classic shared an image of a photographer taking pictures of a car, telling its followers, exciting news, we have Cody here from Forza Horizon Official shooting cars for the next installation in the series. As there are no late model Kai cars in America, he has flown out from the States to use our cars as a basis for their digital versions. A Kai car is a category of car native to Japan and is the smallest expressway legal motor vehicle, typically used by laborers or farmers, given that virtually all Kai cars have been produced in Japan, and The Post made it apparent that the new Forza Horizon is going to be set there. Following its release in November 2021, Microsoft claimed Forza Horizon 5 has enjoyed the biggest launch in Xbox history at the time, with more than 10 million players in its first week. Earlier this year, the game released on PS5, where it quickly became a massive hit for Microsoft. VGC's Forza Horizon review called The Racer the first essential game of the generation. I want to try this game. I've never played a Forza Horizon game. I hear a lot of great positive feedback on it. So that might be a game that I get on the Game Pass. Maybe I'll try out 5 and see how I feel about it. But the fact that it's set in Japan is definitely appealing for sure. So this is something that I would definitely try. We got a lot of games going to Japan over the last year. You know, we had Assassin's Creed going to Japan. You know, we have this game going to... We got a lot going on, and that's awesome. That's really awesome. We had an RGG presentation, and we had a few announcements about Yakuza. So let's take a look at that. Because we got an announcement for Yakuza Kiwami 3. A remake of Yakuza 3. Crazy. Ooh. He did. I do believe this is a combat only trailer, so I do apologize for that. But it looks pretty sick. So as this plays, I'm gonna read the write-up that came out of VGC. Yakuza Kiwami 3 has been announced. It's now confirmed that the game will release on February 12th, 2026 on PS5, Xbox Series X and S, Switch 2, PS4, PC. During the developer's latest RGG Summit presentation, Yakuza 3 will remake the 2009 action-adventure game originally released on PS3. Much like previous remakes, Kiwami 1 and Kiwami 2, which were released in 2016 and 2017, respectively, Kiwami 3 will feature greatly improved visuals and new gameplay features. This will also include added story scenes, as well as a brand new spin-off adventure called Yakuza 3 Gaiden Dark Ties, starring antagonist Yoshitaki Mine. Kiwami 3 and Kiwami 3 Gaiden will launch as a bundle on February 12th. Rather than a remaster, Kiwami is a completely remade from scratch using the Dragon Engine that was originally introduced in Yakuza 6. The game will feature both Japanese and English voice acting. Like its predecessors, Yakuza 3 follows the events of Kazuma Kiryu and takes place in Kamurocho, the fictional area based on Tokyo's Kubikicho region. The third game also adds a secondary location called Ryukyu, located in Naha in the Okinawa Prefecture. It also has been confirmed that Japanese actor Teruyuki Kagawa will star in Yakuza 3 Kiwami as Go Hamazaki, replacing the character model used in the original Yakuza 3. Kagawa was accused in 2022 of sexually harassing a female employee at a club in Ginza. In 2019, Kagawa admitted that the report was true, saying via his agency, "Everything is my fault. I apologize for making the other person uncomfortable again with this report. I am sorry for the inconvenience caused." The character Rikiya Shimabroko will now be played by Sho Kasamatsu, best known for his role as Sato in Tokyo Vice. It was recently announced that Kiwami 1 and Kiwami 2, the remakes of the first two Like a Dragon games, are coming to Nintendo Switch 2, with both set to release on November 13th. And with that, we're also going to be getting director's cuts of Kiwami 1 and Kiwami 2 released on other consoles. So not just, you know, Kiwami 2, Zero came out. I'm sorry, it was Zero and Kiwami. Now I have to look that up. I thought I had it here. I'm sorry. Here it is. Director's Cut. Zero Director's Cut. Yakuza Zero Director's Cut. Yakuza Kiwami and Yakuza Kiwami 2 are coming to PS5 and Xbox Series X. The Yakuza Zero Director's Cut has been a Switch 2 exclusive since the console launched. Yakuza Zero Director's Cut, Yakuza Kiwami, and Yakuza Kiwami 2 will all be coming to PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and Steam, the studio has announced. Zero's Director's Cut is an enhanced version of Zero, which was released on the Switch 2 as a Switch 2 launch title, exclusive to Nintendo's console. The Director's Cut includes about 26 minutes of new cutscenes, as well as new English dub. The original game only had a Japanese dub with English subtitles, and a new Red Light Raid online four-player mode with up to 60 playable characters. It's now been confirmed that Yakuza Zero Director's Cut will also be coming to PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC via Steam on December 8th in both physical and digital editions. Kiwami 1, Yakuza Kiwami 1, and Yakuza Kiwami 2 remakes of the first two games in the series were originally released in 2016 and 2017. Both remakes have been released on Xbox One and PS4 and can therefore be played on current-gen platforms via backwards compatibility. However, with both games coming to Switch 2 on November 13th, Ryuga Gotoku, RGG Studio, has decided that other formats shouldn't be left out, meaning Kiwami 1 and Kiwami 2 will be coming to PS5 and Xbox Series X and S a month later on December 8th, the same day as Yakuza 0 Director's Cut. Cool. So Kiwami 1 and Kiwami 2 are already available on Steam, but will be updated with additional language support on December 8th. The announcement follows the news of Kiwami 3, which is currently in development, and is set to release on February 12th of 2026. With that said, those who own Zero cannot upgrade to Director's Cut. That has been made very clear. So if you want the Director's Cut, you're going to have to buy it again. I will be talking about Director's Cut. I've never played Yakuza Zero. I owned it on PS4. I never played it. I started playing it, but then, as is me, I got distracted by another shiny game that I wanted to play and never played it. I originally played Yakuza, the first Yakuza, on the PlayStation 2 when it originally released, and fell in love with the game. I played it through many times. Yakuza 0's Director Cut came out on the Switch 2 and decided to pick that up, which I will be playing in the future. And so, yeah, that's awesome. Some more RGG information. We're going to take a look at a new mode that's been announced for Virtual Fighter 5 Revo. So let us take a look at that.
Round one. Ready, go!
Brand new single player mode, World Stage. Fight your way to the top of the World Stage tournament. Clear all 7 booths and become the champion. Level up through each booth to unlock boss battles. Defeat bosses to conquer the booths. Challenge elite fighters from around the world in the World Stage. Your opponents are real players brought to life. Defeat over 1,000 players and be crowned the strongest. Beyond the World Stage, I didn't get to finish doing that. Challenge them to earn exclusive titles. Complete challenges to unlock customization items. For first-time players, whether you're a new challenger or a returning warrior, your next battleground awaits on the World Stage. Virtual Fighter 5 REVO World Stage. Coming to PS5 on October 30th, along with Xbox Series X and S. Steam will have a free upgrade, and Nintendo Switch 2 this winter. RGG is very committed to making this game something big. And I know that the new game is coming out, and everyone's very excited about it. So I've tried Virtual Fighter. I'm not very good at it. I'll be honest with you. So we'll see what comes with that. I'll probably get that on the PlayStation as well. I have it on PC right now. So we still got a lot. You got a ways to go. But moving into some interesting information that came out of a presentation that was put on by Kojima Productions. So there was a look to a Death Stranding animated movie, and live action movies were talked about as well. So let's go into this write-up by Andy Robinson for VGC. New looks revealed for Death Stranding animated and live-action movies. Kojima Productions has provided updates on its Death Stranding movie and animation projects. Firstly, the Japanese studio revealed the first look at Death Stranding Mosquito, which is the previously announced animation project from Aaron, I'm not even going to try to say that name, Gusikowski? Hopefully I said that right, who has served as a writer on both Raised by Wolves and Denis Villeneuve's Prisoners. Mosquito will be directed by Hiroshi Miyamoto and animated by ABC Animation Studio. Kojima Productions confirmed at an anniversary event on Tuesday. Early footage shown of Mosquito teased an original character in the world of Death Stranding. At the same event in Tokyo, Japan, Kojima Productions invited director Michael Cernowski of The Quiet Place Day One on stage to discuss his live-action movie, which is being produced at A24. According to Cernowski, the Death Stranding movie will tell an original story featuring new characters and locations. With this project, we really want to capture the soul of the game, the themes of the game, but tell a story that you haven't seen in that world, and explore characters that you haven't seen before, and find all of that scope and all of those incredible real locations, but also those nuanced characters, and do justice to this on a micro and macro scale. Kojima commented the game takes about 70 to 80 hours, and we don't want to slim that down to a two-hour movie. So using that world for a thoroughly different story is essential and important. I wanted someone who could write and direct. I won't get involved too much because if I do, I'm going to start saying a lot of things. I'll be a producer, and I can trust Michael fully. So, Kojima also talked about Visint. So this one comes from Andy Robinson at VGC. Kojima reveals visual for PlayStation stealth game Visint. Announces cast members. Announces three cast members. So let me do something here. We are going to... Oh, wait. Hold on. Let me try to find something here. I'm trying to find that picture that was released because I thought I had it, but I guess I didn't open it because I'm ill-prepared. Come on. Here we go. So this was the image that they're talking about. Kojima has revealed the first look at art for his next PlayStation stealth action game, Visint, and announced the first cast members. Speaking on stage at the 10th anniversary event in Tokyo, Japan, Kojima emphasized that development was still early on the project and claimed that he was still casting his actors. The visual art shared on stage shows the main character for the game. Kojima confirmed, though their face isn't shown, the poster features the tagline, "Here comes the feeling." However, the Death Stranding director was able to reveal that actors Charlie Fraser, Don Lee, and Minami Hamabe will star in Visint. For me, working with people I like helps me live longer because I can go to work and say, I want to meet them, Kojima said. We need to experiment with technology and there's so much to do. But before that, I need to make OD. We're going to talk about that in a minute. PlayStation studio boss Herman Holtz appeared in a brief video message in which he reiterated his excitement for Visint. We're not going to be sharing too many details today, but I can confirm that the game is fueled by the same creative energy and same ambition that has made the PlayStation and Kojima partnership so powerful over the past 30 years. Kojima first announced Visint, which was described as a brand new original IP and the next generation action espionage game last year. Kojima recently stated that Visint could take 5 or 6 years to develop. During the same 10th anniversary event on Tuesday, Kojima Productions premiered a new look at its Xbox-published horror game, OD. Now, I gotta make changes here. 1 minute. Let's take a look at a trailer for OD. Into the forbidden. So let's watch the trailer. We'll go back to this. We're going to be coming back and forth. Building was blank from a 3D scan of a blank found in a blank. All of this redacted text is very interesting. And then blank were blank in a sinister ritual. Why are we messing with the candles? O.D. Knock, a Hideo Kojima game. Sophia Lillis, Udo Kier, and Hunter Schafer. For all players and screamers. Xbox Game Studios, Kojima Productions. I really hope this isn't going to be an Xbox exclusive. I'm going to be real with you. Maybe a timed exclusive. So, the text. Let's go back to the text. The original text. This one right here. 10 years since the redacted horror, redacted, the curse redacted, have once again redacted into the forbidden. Now, someone thinks they deciphered it. 10 years since the legendary horror game, P.T., the cursed survivors have once again ventured into the forbidden. Now, we're going to move on a little bit into this part right here. This building was replicated from a 3D scan of an abandoned clinic found in an isolated village. And then they were trapped in a sinister ritual. So this is definitely a spiritual successor to PT. Now, we all know that PT eventually, it was supposed to be Silent Hills, starring Norman Reedus, that led us into Death Stranding because well, Konami sucks. I'm going to be that guy and say it. You're getting me back. You're winning me back, but still, I have not forgiven you for that. I'm excited. I've read some other things, some theories that there's going to be, this is going to be sort of an anthology series, that there's going to be more than just because of the subtitle Knock, that there's going to be other OD games. I know that Jordan Peele is involved in this, but there's speculation that he won't be involved in Knock. He's going to be involved in something else. Another title in the series with Kojima producing, obviously, but that this is Kojima's story. So we're getting a spiritual successor to PT. And Fizzen is the next generation of tactical espionage, a spiritual successor to Metal Gear Solid. We got Konami still doing Metal Gear Solid things. So we'll see what happens. I'm just saying, you know, it'd be nice if y'all could just make up. It would be nice for everyone, actually. Just saying. So with that said, I want to talk a little bit about wrestling. We had WrestlePalooza, and I want to talk about three big things. One, opening up the show was John Cena versus Brock Lesnar, and God almighty, I hope they never run into each other again. Lesnar basically obliterated Cena, left a bunch of kids crying in the stands, and that was the opening of the show. It just completely squashed him on the retirement tour. You know, we only got a few dates left. So that was interesting. I'm not a big Brock Lesnar fan. I wish he'd go and sweat somewhere else. Have y'all seen the puddle stains that he leaves on the floor? I know someone out there knows exactly what I'm talking about. Sweat puddles all over the fucking ringside. We also had Stephanie Vaquer versus Io Sky, the match of the evening. Just an amazing match by both of them. That corkscrew finish that Vaquer had was phenomenal. And Vaquer is the new WWE World's Women's Champion, which is awesome. She is going to be going on to the Crown Jewel event to compete for the Crown Jewel Women's Championship against Tiffany Stratton. But that night also brought us mixed tag match, CM Punk and AJ Lee, the returning AJ Lee versus Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, and AJ has not missed a beat. There were some things that went wrong a little bit with some finishers and whatnot. There were some Black Widows that maybe could have been executed a little better. That may have been in fault of the person receiving it, but you know, we won't get into that. Overall, it was amazing. It was an amazing match. It was amazing seeing her back. I told y'all how excited I was last time, and I'm excited to see what comes next. I'm excited to see if we're going to get a Intercontinental Championship match at Crown Jewel. Just saying. But we did get a nice match announcement made for Crown Jewel in Perth. We got John Cena versus AJ Styles one last time. And when I say one last time, I mean not just one last time for John Cena, but also one last time for AJ Styles. And it's coming off of his announcement that he plans to retire in 2026. And that makes me sad, but also I know that he wants to go out as the phenomenal one, as who he's been since the early days of his career. Just this phenomenal wrestler. He doesn't want, you know, to be like most wrestlers not as much anymore, but a lot of wrestlers who just continue to go on and go on and go on and have lost that ability to put on the show they need to. So I'm happy for him and his plans for retirement. I'm sad to see him go. I've been following AJ Styles since TNA. You know, it's sad that a lot of people that I grew up watching are slowly retiring. Some are coming back after retiring. But overall, it's been awesome having his run in WWE and him retiring. You know, we had his run in WCW and in TNA, New Japan as leader of the Bullet Club. Honestly, looking at the trajectory of this, I hope that his retirement match is Finn Balor. But on the subject of TNA, It's been a lot of stuff going on NXT involving TNA. We all know that deal going on, and we know that Trick Williams is the TNA World Heavyweight Champion right now. At one point, you know, we had JC Jane as the champion of the women's division for TNA. And, well, there was a homecoming show, and there wasn't much TNA representation besides Joe Hendry. And TNA talent were very vocal on it on social media. And last week, TNA invaded NXT during the winner-takes-all match between Obafemi and Trick Williams. No contest, by the way, due to a disqualification. TNA invaded NXT, and there's going to be a pay-per-view. It's going to be an event of invasion, NXT versus TNA, and I am all here for it. I've been looking forward to this. I knew this was coming. I knew there was an invasion angle coming, and I'm so happy. So happy. Just 100% thrilled for it. Sucks I don't have CW, but I'm going to have to find some way to watch that live. So let's move on now and talk about Donkey Kong Bonanza on the Switch 2. So I picked this up when I picked up the Switch 2. I picked this up, started playing a little bit of it, put it down because Metal Gear Solid Delta took priority because I do not have my priority straight. So this game was made by the same team that brought us Super Mario Odyssey on the Switch. You're trying to get to the planet's core with Pauline, who initially you find inside of what looks to be just a talking rock, ends up being Pauline. It reminds me a little bit, the destruction that you can do in this game reminds me of the Incredible Hulk Ultimate Destruction game back in the PS2 era. And I have had a lot of fun with it. It's, you know, you're going through the different layers as you continue to go down into the planet's core. And the exploration that you can do in this game is incredible. The areas are really big. You can, destroy almost everything. There are certain areas that you just can't destroy because obviously you don't want to break the game, right? So there's certain things you just get to a point where you've gone deep enough and the game doesn't let you go deeper than that into what you're destroying. And you have a lot of powers. There's a skill tree. So when you got that banana that we just destroyed and ate, essentially, once you get like 5, you get a skill point. And it lets you upgrade your abilities, whether it be how strong your attacks are, your HP, how many hearts you have, to the containers. So there's the balloons. The balloons underneath your hearts are balloons that you collect to like recover from falling from certain areas. It just helps you float back up. If you like fall into like areas where you would essentially just die, it doesn't kill you. It just floats you back up. The little container there with the apples, those are apple juices, and they recover your HP. If you have one on hand when you lose all your hearts, it'll recover, help you recover, and you can upgrade how many you hold at a time. There's another juice that'll become available once you unlock the Bonanza powers. And Bonanza powers, they give you these powers, and I don't want to get into the depths of the powers and what the powers are and do, because I don't want to spoil that for anybody. But you do get these Bonanza powers that you can utilize throughout the game, and you unlock. And as you unlock Bonanza powers and forms, you will unlock more things to unlock in the skill tree with how, you know, and how you do different things with the different forms. overall, it's a huge skill tree, and there's bananas everywhere. You have that hand slap that he does to collect stuff around you, but it also creates this like solar wave, the sonar wave, to help you detect certain things. So that's also very cool. I am going to skip ahead here because it went a little crazy on the destruction. But, you know, there's certain things that you'll do. Find different platforms to do different things in, and you know, how you interact with the environment, and launch pads or buttons, things like that. So I jump in the air and do the mid-air dive punch. I was hitting the wrong button. Boom. That destroys all that and opens that up. So now we've got another area to explore. Like I said, the areas, even this entry level area is very vast. We're going to skip ahead to a different area. After we find the next banana, you'll see what happens. We'll be introduced to the bad guys, the Void Company. Try to break the banana, doesn't work. We get something's sucking things up, and it's creating this giant meteor looking thing. And that is the Void Company there with all the villains, all the bad guys that you'll find around the different areas. So as you every area is different. Every sublayer is different. As you go deeper, and you'll find so many different types of environments with different hazards. And with those areas and hazards, you'll also, the clothes, you can change Donkey Kong's clothes. You can actually buy hair dye and change the color of Donkey Kong himself, which I think is kind of hysterical. You find throughout your digging of different areas, you'll find fossils. And those areas' fossils, you can go into a shop to buy accessories. So you can buy clothes. You can buy clothes for Pauline, who you will find as a talking rock that turns out that she's enveloped in this stuff that this Void Company uses and kind of encodes things in. And you get her out of it, and you find out she's the singer and all this. She's got this powerful voice. And eventually she is able to help you unlock your Bonanza powers. I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. So we were talking about it, and then I went off on a trail on Pauline. But the clothes, that's what we're talking about, the clothes. You get different ties that give you certain abilities. You get different pants. Like you can buy a pants that makes you resistant to ice. So in extremely cold areas, you won't take as much damage. You can get outfits for Pauline that also help boost those stats. And prevention of damage on certain things from certain things. So I'm going to skip forward to the area where we encounter our like mini boss in a way. So Bad Monkey, which is the bad guys. These skeleton that turns gold. And becomes animated. Then the Void Company's weird powers turn into this creature. And you gotta defeat the rock monster. So this is a little, I guess it's like a mini boss, but it's not really, because once you get past this, you'll encounter this type of villain often, and they're pretty easy to take out. They're just annoying, but this is one form of many. And as you explore different areas, the materials that you destroy, they're a little more difficult to destroy as you move through the deeper in through the layers heading to the planet's core, which is where we're going. So it becomes hard. So, you know, things that you know in a level one strength terrain is going to be easier to break than in a level five, which is deeper into the game. But also, when you're building your skill points, you build up strength as well, using your skill points to unlock more strength to destroy things. So there's that part as well. Trying to get a new banana. But it goes into the void. So we're going to go down with it. And this is pretty much repetitive throughout the different layers. You finish a layer, you go down. Now, there's sections, right? So there's a section where it's got multiple layers. So there's the multiple different things you have to do in that section. But then you go down the final, you know, you defeat the boss of that area. And you move into a new layer that is a completely different environment. So we see here, we go down the hole, you know, and Donkey Kong Bonanza. This is just the intro. This is just the intro. And like I said, you find so many different things. There's secret bonus levels where you can do different tasks to collect more bananas to upgrade those skill points. I have not been exploring the areas as much just because of time constraints. I wanted to get through as much as I could to kind of get a feel for the game to talk about it. There's so much that I haven't explored. Different things that I can do that I unlock powers for later. You can travel. There's these like eels, these water eels that basically help you teleport to different layers. You can go back. There's a section in the game where you have to go back to a specific layer. So the exploration is kind of open in a way. You can go back to areas. And, you know, if you have an ability that you couldn't use before, then now you can, you know, that sort of thing. The materials that you find throughout the worlds to help you explore different areas are also pretty awesome. Like I said, every area is different. And there are different hazards with it, different villains. Certain enemies that you encounter before now have a different form because of the environment that they're in. So overall, it's a great, fun game. I haven't had too much difficulty with the bosses, with the different powers and skill points that I've used. So even though I'm just mainlining it, I'm still not having difficulty. So it's a fun game just to, you know, go through the different areas. The music has been fun. I like the music. One of my favorite songs right now has to be the Bonanza transformation song. Overall, the music plays a big role in a lot of the game because of Pauline and the different things that you encounter to get powers to go into Bonanza mode and the different Bonanza powers that you get. I don't think I've unlocked all the powers yet. I think there might be one more, but I'm not sure. I haven't gotten to the planet's core yet. And I know that once you get to the planet's core, that's still not it. There's still more to go in the layers. I haven't finished the game, but so far I've had a lot of fun with it. I've enjoyed it a lot. in my scale, I would give it an 8. And I only say that because there are some things, like, for example, the camera. So, like, when you're digging, you eventually get to a point where the camera has to come with you, and you kind of get lost in the environment that you're digging into. So you have to be careful with that. There is a bit of repetitiveness as you get through things. But overall, it's a very fun game. Is it a Mario game? No. But it's a really fun Donkey Kong game. And I would say probably one of the best Donkey Kong games that's ever been released, in my opinion. So, like I said, I would give this an 8. If you've played Donkey Kong Bonanza, let me know what you think. But with that said, we've come to the end of the show. And I got some big stuff happening. I'm going to be going on a trip a few days from now, actually. I'm going to be in New York. And a little bit of a vacation, going back to the old stomping grounds. And I'm going to be exploring some areas that I think, if I'm able to, with the time that I have, I'm going to get some footage. We're going to talk about some different areas that I went to that might be appealing to fellow nerds. But on that next episode, we are also going to be talking about 2XKO. And I'm going to have some guests on the show, our very first guests on the show that I'm going to be talking to about 2XKO and their experiences with the game, because it's been a very fun game to get into. So we're going to talk about that and some recent news that has also developed about 2XKO as well. So, again, look forward to that in our next episode. And as always, thank you all for your support. You can find us on all podcast platforms and on YouTube in video form. Give us a like, subscribe, comments, reviews, all help. And with that, I must bid you all adieu. As always, be good. Or be good at it. Thank you.